The scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew, the 28th chapter. I'll be reading verses 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful for the opportunities we have to worship God in spirit and truth. And we're so thankful that you're with us today. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way and had safe travel. Always glad to have those groups, and you're our honored guest. The women's group has been meeting, and I believe if you look on the bulletin, they are collecting some items for Bomar. And there's a couple of different ways that you can help support that. They have 24 bags that are ready, and all we need to do is fill them. You can fill them, help fill a bag for $20, and what will go into this bag will be kind of basic necessities, and we also are going to put some church literature in these bags. I believe that has been approved. Jeannie's kind of heading this up, and we'll be able to put some church literature in the bags for these individuals that get these bags that just have some basic necessities. Things like that. So you could sponsor a bag for $20 or any amount. We're trying to get up to 24 bags. That's the amount of bags we have. Or you can just donate some items and certainly contact Melissa with that. But any hygiene items, shower items, any food that's not cooked, anything like that, gloves, anything like that can be donated. But if you'd like to sponsor a bag, $20, or you can donate some items. Please see Melissa about that. Also, the ladies have put together a bulletin board sign-up, and they're going to try to rotate the bulletin boards throughout the building. There's some in the classrooms over here, and obviously there's the ones in the foyer. They're thinking about having it on a rotation basis, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back for that based off the season. So if you'd like to do a bulletin board, not all the bulletin boards, but just one bulletin board for one season. We've got some in the classroom and some in the foyer. There's a sign-up sheet in the back if you'd like to help with that. But certainly it's hard to get all these announcements in with just James, so we start to separate them. Give me some, and I'll try to get those out as best I can. Matthew chapter 28 was read for us. And last week we were looking at Luke chapter 19, and we see Jesus comes upon Zacchaeus. He sees the lost. He stops for the lost, and he seeks the lost. And we talked about the idea of trying to have a target in our lives, and certainly as the year comes to a close, somebody that we can pray about, and certainly work on and bring them to the gospel. But it got me thinking certainly about Matthew chapter 28, where we see the Great Commission. What a mission that is laid before these men. And really, if you think about the situation that they find themselves in, we really have this directed towards 11 individuals in particular. Of course, Judas betraying our Lord, and we're getting in Matthew chapter 28, we have, it says there, the 11 disciples. And we have the Great Commission there. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, you think about that, what a mission, if you were one of those individuals there when Jesus gave that. You know, 11 individuals there, it seems, and Jesus is speaking to them. Of course, we know that this is going to be for all individuals, a mission that we should be carrying out this day. But what a mission, to go into all the world. A mission to take the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that we can have peace with God. We can have justification. We can have reconciliation with God. Us being sinners, breaking the law, which has been laid before us. What God has told us to do, we have not done. And if we were to stand before the judge, and he says, "Have you broken the law?" We have to say, yes. What an opportunity to have reconciliation, forgiveness, to be able to stand justified in such a situation. That's really what the gospel offers. The good news of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The shedding of blood for the remission of sins. But thinking about that Great Commission, I'd like to think about three things this morning. Certainly thinking about the men, the mission, and the message. So first I'd like to start with the men. When Jesus starts talking, when we have the Great Commission given, and I start thinking about these men that were selected, we think about the disciples, we think about the apostles, we think about followers of Christ in general, but I think about those first individuals that followed Jesus. Those people that he looked at that were with him for about 3.5 years, that he taught, that they followed him, that they watched him. They were watching his teaching strategies. They were watching the way he conducted himself. They were observing and bringing all these things in to themselves. I think about those men. I think about those individuals that were following Christ. And as we go back and we think to the beginning of the New Testament, we have this period of silence between the Old and the New Testament, and they are waiting on the Messiah. They are waiting on the King of Kings. They're waiting on the Lord of Lords. They're waiting on the Messiah. And we know that there's a preparer that's going to come. And we see that in the beginning of the Gospels, we see John the Baptist. And he's preparing the way, and he's saying, for the kingdom's at hand. And he's baptized the individuals. And we start to see this trend that's going to be carried all throughout the Bible in terms of the New Testament, is that the silence is broken, really, by John the Baptist, if we think about it. And he's preparing the way for Jesus. And what is his message? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we see him baptize the individuals. We know that John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. We know that they're 6 months apart. And Jesus, as he grows and matures in knowledge and in stature, and as he goes through that process at the age of 30, he's going to start his public ministry thereabouts. He's baptized by John, even though John protests and says, right now, I should be baptized by you. Suffer it, Lord. And Jesus is baptized there by John. And we start to see the Gospels unfold. And I think John the Baptist and Jesus really working in unison, trying to prepare the way, pave the way for the church, pave the way really for the Great Commission and really Jesus' sacrifice. And in Matthew chapter 10, we start to see these individuals that are selected. These disciples, followers, but apostles. In Matthew chapter 4, the limited commission, verses 1 through 4, Matthew chapter 10, it says, when he had called these 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. If you keep reading there in Matthew chapter 10, the list of these men are named. It gives them their names. And not only do we have their names, but we understand some of their background, we understand some of their occupation. And to complete this very hard mission, or to start this mission of taking the gospel to the whole world, who are these men? Have you ever thought about that? The people that are going to carry out the Great Commission that's going to start at Jerusalem as the Holy Spirit falls upon them on the day of Pentecost. Who are these men? They're commoners, are they not? Yet Jesus could have selected anyone. Who's going to start this mission? Who's going to start us off? Who's going to start the message of the church is here, and people are going to be baptized, commission of sins, and they'll be out of the church, and that the gospel will be preached to all the world. Who's it going to start with? It's going to start with common men. Common individuals. As you look through that list in Matthew chapter 10 and you start trying to associate occupations with these individuals, we see that there's four commercial fishermen. Common individuals. God decided to start spreading the gospel with common individuals. Four commercial fishermen. Peter, Andrew, James, John. We have the tax collector, Matthew. You know, tax collectors were not necessarily the most popular individuals. As many times they would lie about how many taxes he owed, that way they could just skim some off the top. And certainly we see Matthew is one of those that's going to be selected and certainly converted. And we see other individuals, but Jesus chose common individuals. And as we look around at the Lord's church, do we not look around and realize we are common individuals? Common individuals. That's how the gospel started, and that's how the gospel is going to be carried throughout time. It's going to be carried by common individuals, human vessels, as we see the pattern of the New Testament. God could have chosen anyone. He could have chosen the religious elite. He could have chosen those that were great in the eyes of man. He chose common individuals, and that's what we should view ourselves as we try to serve Jesus Christ, as we try to carry out the mission that has been given to us, the Great Commission, to take the gospel into the whole world. He starts with common men. You know, you look at that, wouldn't you say that's an impossible task? Wait. The gospel's going to go through the whole world and is going to start with mom and dad, fishermen, tax collectors. That's how this is going to start. This is how this is going to get rolling with common men, common individuals. That's exactly how God started it. Now, they had some help. There's no doubt about that. Look at John chapter 16. These individuals are going to get help, and God knows that's going to happen. Certainly, they're training with Jesus. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13, he tells them something else. Jesus says, I'm not going to be with you forever. You common individuals that are studying with me along the way, I'm not going to be with you forever. And in John chapter 16, picking up in verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Wait, it's to advantage that the great teacher goes away? The great teacher, Jesus Christ, it's to their advantage that he goes away. Let's see what it says, John chapter 16, verse 7 following. It says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin. Because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. I believe this is in reference to the Holy Spirit. And certainly, when we fast forward just a little bit to Acts chapter 2, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is going to fall on these individuals on the day of Pentecost, and we're going to see the gospel, remission of sin, is going to be preached fully for the first time. And it's going to come from what? The mouth of common men. If you were to say that there was going to be something that spread all across the world, and it was going to start with common men, like it did in the Bible, I think you realize it needs some help. And God does offer help to these common individuals. I think it makes the gospel all the more powerful. When the gospel comes from common individuals, people that you meet, fishermen, doctors, tax collectors, just normal people trying to spread the gospel, it's got a power to it. And certainly, that power is acknowledged in Acts chapter 2, and it's acknowledged throughout the New Testament. As people see these common men trying to spread the gospel, they say, something special about this. Something special about this. And there's no way that it would be spreading if God wasn't involved in this process. In Acts chapter 5, verses 38-39, it says, and now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan is the work of men, it'll come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. That's Gamaliel speaking, and the gospel is starting to spread from these common men, and he says, if this is from men, it's just going to fizzle out. These common men are not going to be able to spread this message. These common men are not going to be able to convert the world. Just leave them alone. But he says this from God, you cannot overthrow it. Of course, we can think about the Gamaliel situation and why he might have said some of those things, but I just kind of want to focus on the words. What words that he said? If this is from man, it will fail. But if it's from God, it will continue on, it will press on. And certainly, we understand that we are common individuals. And if the gospel is to be pressed on, it falls right on our shoulders. Well, it falls on the preacher's shoulders. Wait. I'm a Christian just like you. Don't put me up on a pedestal. I'm a Christian just like you. I'm a common individual just like you. Peter was a common man. When he shows up to Cornelius' house, they bow down to him and say, stand up, I'm just a man. The gospel is to be spread by common individuals, common men and women. And that's the way the gospel has to spread today. That's the way it spread in the first century. It's amazing. God started with common men, and look how far the gospel has come. God's plan was always to use human vessels. In fact, that's the pattern you see throughout Acts, is he always used a human. There were times that God talked to individuals, there were times that angels talked to individuals, but what's interesting is the angels never really told them the gospel, and God never really told them the gospel, is every time he had a human that delivered the message. Think about it, Acts chapter 2. Peter delivered the message. We go to Acts chapter 9. We've got Saul, right? He's on the road. And he's blinded by this light, and then he's sent to the town, and who delivers the gospel, the saving message? It was Ananias. And I said, why carry for now? Why do that time? Watch what you say. Human vessels. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his household, the first Gentile convert, Peter, was the human vessel. You understand that God's trying to use you? He's trying to use you to spread the gospel. And he's always used common individuals to spread the gospel. I'm not trying to tear us down. We're common individuals. Common, we have been brought together into the Lord's church, added to the Lord's church, and together as a family, we can spread the gospel to the world. You just got to start one person at a time. There's somebody in your life that you touch. There's somebody in your life that touches your ripple that you can influence for good. That you can be that vessel to carry that message. And John, in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, talking about Saul, this is a conversation between the Lord and Ananias, says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So this is God speaking to Ananias. Ananias is about to speak to Saul. Seems like Ananias is a little bit apprehensive of talking to Saul because of his reputation of killing Christians and doing all these things. But God says, you know what? Saul is a chosen vessel of mine. Or he's human. Yeah, that's what God's used all throughout time. God has always used human vessels. He's used human vessels in chapter 2 of Acts, chapter 9, chapter 10. I mean, all throughout Acts, we see that humans are delivering the message. Are they delivering their message? No. They're trying to deliver the message that God has given. When we think of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. I'm not trying to take anyone my message. I'm trying to take them the message of the Bible. And you as a common individual, as myself as a common individual, we can deliver that message. We can be the vessel that God wants us to be. We can carry the message. God started with common individuals, and certainly today he's expecting common individuals to stand up and do those things which we know to be good and right in relation to spreading the gospel. Have you ever thought about that? God is trying to use you. No, he's trying to use the person next to me. No, he's trying to use Kyle. Well, yeah, he's trying to use everyone, but he's trying to use you. He's trying to use your circle of influence. He's trying to use your contact. He's trying to use your friends. He's trying to use your relatives. He's trying to use you to get to your co-workers. But will you let him? Will you carry the gospel to those that need it most? Common individuals are always those that carry the gospel. And the gospel is powerful. The power to save. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Common vessels have always been part of God's plan. The question is will we be part of God's plan in spreading the message? When I think of the Great Commission, I think of what God selected to carry the message. He selected common vessels, common men, common individuals. And I'm one of those. You know, I don't only think about the men and women, common, that are going to carry the message, but I also think of the mission itself. You think about that, that's an intimidating message, going to all the world. Going to all the world. What a mission God has laid before these individuals. You know, fishermen, tax collectors, what a mission he has laid before these individuals, but God is going to help. And I believe God will help us today. God has given us his inspired word. That's a powerful tool. But I like the Great Commission when we read it over in Luke chapter 24. If you go over to Luke chapter 24, Luke is a little bit more detailed in some of the things he writes. In Luke chapter 24, he's kind of stating his Great Commission. Of course, they're the same. It's just different individuals. They're basically saying the same thing. But he gives us just a little more than some of the other Gospels. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49, it says, and he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high. This is still the Great Commission that we read in Matthew chapter 28. Luke is just telling us a little bit more in terms of what's going to happen. When is this going to start? When's the Great Commission going to start? When is this all going to get kicked off? And it tells you in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47, it's going to begin at Jerusalem. Hey, you common man, you need to make your way to Jerusalem. You need to be there at Jerusalem. You need to tarry there. And it tells them that basically the promise of my Father is going to come upon you. And it says you're going to be endued with power on high. I believe that's the Holy Spirit that we see in Acts chapter 2. But what I'm trying to say is we see common men and we're seeing the mission. Where does the mission start? The mission starts at Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter 24, it tells us what this mission is all about. Verse 47, it says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. Wait, what's going to be preached in Jerusalem? Repentance and remission of sin. That's what's going to be preached in Jerusalem. You better be there. The common men are going to start this off with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of God. They've got a mission. They're going to be at Jerusalem, and it's going to start there. Question, what's going to be preached there? Well, it tells us here in Luke, they haven't even got there yet. Repentance and remission of sins. I don't know about you, but I've got a sin problem. I don't know about the world, whether they're going to acknowledge it or not, but the world has a sin problem. We all need to hear the message that is going to pop up in Jerusalem with common men that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. We need to hear that message. The world needs to hear that message. It's going to start in Jerusalem. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Remission of sins is going to be preached. What is that? Common men on a mission. Common men, get yourselves to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And really, we see that repentance and remission of sins is what is going to be preached. You know, the Great Commission is going to start in Jerusalem. It's not going to start with men with great education. It's not going to start with men of great learning in terms of the world. Tarry there and wait and see. Wait and see what's preached there at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1, as we get over there, of course, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We got John the Baptist saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's baptizing people. We got Jesus repeating a similar message. And then Jesus has died. He has come. He has arose from the grave. And He gives the Great Commission. And He says, hey, I need you guys in Jerusalem. And I need you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes is baptized shall be saved. Are they going to fulfill the mission that God has told them to? We've got common men. They're on a mission. The question is are they going to change the message? Or are they going to stay consistent with the message which Jesus has given them? In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we start kind of building up to the Jerusalem day, the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all of Judah and Samaria and to the end of the earth. They're on a mission. The mission starts in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, then they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Well, why do you bring that up? Is that we've been talking about 11 based off the Great Commission, but now we've got to replace Judas. Judas is replaced before we get to Acts chapter 2. They're going to need him. They're going to need him. They need every hand they can get. And we need every hand we can get today to spread the gospel of Christ. We need every hand we can get to spread the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. So we see Matthias is at it. And we've got the day of Pentecost. And this day of Pentecost is happening at Jerusalem. And as we look back, we realize that this day was a special day for multiple reasons, but this was a feast day of the Jewish nation. This was a feast day of the Jewish nation, and as you read the Old Testament, you can read about some of it in Leviticus chapter 23, but we have these individuals, is that the Jewish males were required three times a year to basically do this. And it just so happens, this day at Jerusalem is the day of Pentecost, and we have all these Jewish men traveling from all over. Where are they traveling to? Jerusalem. God, you couldn't make it any better. Not only are we going to have a day where common men are going to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, but we're going to have a day where we have Jewish individuals from all nations who have assembled in one city, and the gospel starting that day. You couldn't write it up any better. You know, the Great Commission starts to feel a little less intimidating when we start to see all these things that God did to line up a perfect start for the church. He had common men, yes, but they're going to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yes, common men in a common place in Jerusalem. But on this day, in Jerusalem, we have men from the Jewish nation, from all over the world, and they're all at Jerusalem this day. You couldn't write it up any better. You know, God will help us today. You know, we're careful when we talk about the providence of God. I understand that. I can't put my finger down when God has providentially put something together. But I can tell you this, I know God interacts in my life. I know that without a doubt. If He doesn't act in my life, then there's no need to pray. I know God's acting in my life. And you know that God might just be putting people in your life to spread the gospel to. He might just be lining situations up that you're the one that meets up with the individual. We think about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He puts Philip right there. Now the question is, could God trust you like He trusts Philip to run up to the Ethiopian eunuch? You think about that. The Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot, God sends Philip down, and Philip runs up to the chariot. Could God trust you to run up to the chariot? Could God trust you to spread the gospel? God has lined everything up. He's put it all in a row, and He needs you to be the human vessel to deliver the message. He needs you to be Ananias. He needs you to be Peter. He needs you to be that human vessel to share the gospel. What a day this is. The day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is going to fall on these individuals, and we're going to have the gospel preached there for the first time. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, a lot of times in the religious world, when they talk about tongues, they're not talking about what's happening here in Acts chapter 2, because we see that all these people are going to understand their own language. This is a special day. We've got people from all over the world that have come to Jerusalem, and on this day we have inspired individuals that are going to deliver the gospel for the first time. For the first time, we've got men on mission. This mission is to start at Jerusalem. And when we look back, we do not have time this morning, but how much of the Old Testament is pointing to this day? When we think of the minor prophet Joel, as he points to this day, he points to this day, and Peter's going to bring it up in his lesson. We think of Isaiah, when he talks about the church, and he talks about this idea of that all people are going to be welcome, and he talks about the call going out from Zion in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. We've got all the Old Testament pointing to this day. The day where the church starts. This common man on a mission. A mission given by the Lord. They are going to be inspired on this day. Certainly they are. And they are going to deliver the message. And my question is did they stay true to the message? That's a good question. We've got John the Baptist saying, hey, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Be baptized. We've got Jesus saying, hey, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Be baptized. And then we've got Jesus who dies. He raises from the dead. And he says, hey, common individual. I need you at Jerusalem. You're going to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And you are going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Are they going to stay true to the message? Or are they going to try to throw a curveball? Because the religious world would like to tell us, you got a curveball. They didn't change the mission, did they? We see that Peter starts speaking, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, question, is Peter going to violate what Jesus told him in the Great Commission? I don't believe so. I don't think so. And when you think about it, Peter is inspired this day. It's very clear he's inspired. We even have physical things on the outside that's really showing that something special going on with these individuals. There's no doubt. They're inspired on this day. Is Peter going to make a mistake on this day? I don't think Peter's going to make a mistake. He's going to preach, I believe, perfectly. Inspired by God. And we get to Luke chapter 16 and verse 13, which we talked about. Jesus says, I'm going to have to leave. And you actually want me to leave. What, Jesus, we want you to leave? Yes, because when I leave, I'll send the helper, I'll send the comforter, and he's going to help you with what to say. And I believe he helps them on this day, does he not? And he preaches. And he's preaching to the Israelites, these Jewish individuals that have assembled from all over the world. He's preaching to them, and certainly we can go down through and we can read all the things that he's saying. And he's bringing the Old Testament in, and he's making the case that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one that they've been waiting for. And certainly we start to get to the climax. In fact, you might even say Peter gets interrupted. You could maybe argue that as you look at it. But verse 36, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that this God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Think of how much build-up gets to this point. How much build-up has brought us here. We have the Old Testament. We have John the Baptist preparing the way. We have Jesus preparing the way. We have Jesus who gives the Great Commission. He says, hey, remission of sins is going to be preached at Jerusalem. We find ourselves at Jerusalem with common men that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we have come to the part of the lesson where these individuals are cut to the heart, and Peter is going to violate what has been laid for us all this time. He will not. They're cut to the heart and they say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. I don't think Peter messed it up. I think he said exactly what he was supposed to say. But yet so many of our friends, relatives, and those that are around us will run away from what God laid such a smooth path for. What was going to be preached at Jerusalem? Remission of sins and repentance. And what do we see Peter preach? Remission of sins and repentance. And we see how it ends there with baptism for the remission of sins. And certainly you understand that we're living a faithful life. But look at verse 41. Certainly there's a lot of things that, but it says, then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. Okay, they're gladly receiving the word, they're baptized, they're added to them. Who's the them? They're added to them. They're added to them. They're added to them. Who's the them? Well, if you go to verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Says they were added to them in verse 41. In verse 47, it says they were added to the church. When we're baptized, we're added to the church. Our sins are forgiven. And it says they were adding daily those who are being saved. And we see who adds, really. It says the Lord adds to the church. I've got little to do with it, just the message. And the message comes from God. God will tell individuals what to do to become part of the church, to be added to the church. Got little to do with me. I'm just a vessel. And a poor one at that. Can you think about that? The men, the mission, the message, all in line, all tied together by God, and the individuals will try to run around and try to do all kinds of things. They say, well, Kyle, I'm baptized. I was baptized for remission of sins. I want you to definitely think about that. As many individuals that think they're baptized for remission of sins, but many times that's not actually what happens. But there's something else here that's written for Christians, and we cannot overlook it as we're here. Because this is the start, is it not? These individuals are baptized and they're added to the church. But I want to look at verse 42. Says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. This is interesting. We have individuals that become Christians. I believe they're added to the church. And we see that these individuals, it says they continued steadfastly. Have you ever thought that that's part of the Christian life? Continuing steadfastly. That's what these individuals did. And this is the start. They continued steadfastly. And there's some things that are there. I don't want to speak through that verse. These individuals were, they gladly received the word. They were baptized. 3,000 souls were added to them. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. There are four things that are actually stated there. There are four things that are stated there. I want you to think about each of those this morning. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, the apostles' doctrine, those were the inspired individuals. Those are the ones that wrote this book. If we're to continue in the apostles' doctrine, we're to continue in the Bible. And you know what? That's what a Christian should be doing. We should be continuing to live our lives in respect to what the Bible says. What does 2 John verse 9 say? One chapter. 2 John chapter 1 verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. There's many individuals that say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they're running around without their Bible. And I'm not talking about carrying on their tribes, I'm talking about carrying in their hearts. These individuals that are the first Christians, it says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the teachings of the Bible. If you don't have the teachings of the Bible, you don't have God. That's what it says in 2 John chapter 1 verse 9. You know, the Holy Spirit, the apostles, they have given us everything we need. In John chapter 15, verse 13, it said they'd be guided into all truth. I believe that's what's happened. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we see that it basically gives a big, long list of all the things that we have so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. When He inspired these common men, He did not leave anything out. He gave them everything that they need, and we have everything that we need to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Then it talks about fellowship. Wait, what's fellowship? Is fellowship ever talked about in the Bible? Yes, it is. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Wait, these Christians who were baptized for the remission of sins, they're continuing on in the apostles' doctrine, the teachings of the Bible. And not only that, they're continuing to meet. Are you meeting with the brothers and sisters in Christ? Fellowship. Fellowship. What's the next thing on the list? Breaking of bread. I believe that's in reference to communion. We can go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. I believe that's talking about communion. Talking about the Lord's Supper. Wait, these Christians that were baptized in Acts chapter 2, they followed the Bible, the teachings of the apostles. It was being revealed at that time. But we also see that they're fellowshipping. We also see that they're partaking of communion. And I don't know how the religious world messes this up. Because you know something that we get right that is very, very close to communion is giving. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, you know what it says? They gave on the first day of the week. Now you go out in the denominational world, they'll never miss a giving. But you know what they will miss? They'll miss communion. If I said, I'm going to check my finances on the first day of the month, how many times would that be? Let me say 12. First day of the month, okay? First day of the month, 12. Okay? Well, what if I said first day of the week? We don't struggle with it, do we? The first day of the week. There's 52 of those. And when we think about Christians, when we think about those that have been baptized for the remission of the sin, it says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread. Then we're partaking of communion, I have no doubt. And it was on the first day of the week. If there's 52 of those, what do you think a Christian should be doing? They're continuing steadfastly in following the Bible, in fellowship, and certainly I believe communion is there as well. And then it also mentions prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Certainly prayer is part of the Christian's life. Now when you think about our New Testament, certainly there are certain places that are very nice for the alien sinner, but really when you look at the New Testament, it was written to Christians. And it was written to us that we can continue steadfastly. Have you thought about that? The gospel started with common men. We need common men again to take up the call which was given all those years ago. to take the gospel to the whole world. So we look at it, the men, we look at the mission, we look at the message, all consistent. Remission of sins was going to be taught in Jerusalem, and I believe that's what was taught that day. And it's what I'm convinced that I will teach the rest of my life, Lord willing. And certainly as I am resolved to do so. Not falling short of what God has asked me to do. Not falling short of what God has asked a Christian to do. To continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, there's a pattern to become a Christian. And we can see the pattern there in Acts chapter 2 at Jerusalem. Each of those individuals heard the word. They believed it. They repented. They want to change their lives. Certainly, I believe they would be willing and certainly confess that to make someone aware that Jesus is the Son of God and to be immersed for the remission of sins. But that's not the end of the story, is it, brothers and sisters in Christ? It says they continue steadfastly. When you continue steadfastly in doing those things which you should do, that you know that God wants you to do, certainly God needs everyone. He needs common individuals to do that which He has asked us to do. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need prayers in the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can. Be kind as we stand, as we sing.